there are four people. Yesterday we got a little bit sidetracked on our discussion regarding when you come out of quarantine, do you make a birchas hagaymel? Is quarantine considered to be a chov in halacha? Do we consider someone who's chovish based on surim to be someone who's in quarantine? To be chavush v'beis sasurim. So we discussed this in great detail yesterday. We said no, it's not. Halacha lemaisa, the beis sasurim has to be a place of danger, similar to the other three examples listed. The other three examples were traveling over the yam. The yam is a place of danger. The midbar is a place of danger, and a choilesh and nisrape. He was in a matzav of danger. Now let's discuss one thing at a time. Traveling in the midbar. Let's say you take in America, you drive to Florida. Okay, someone, how many hours does it take to drive to Florida? 16 hours, 17 hours, something like that. If a person drives to Florida, when he comes down, does he make a birchas hagoymel when he reaches his destination? So from what I understand, the answer is no. America, interstate highway is not considered to be a makom of sakana that warrants the recital of a birchas hagoymel. It's a makom where you are mechuyev.
Rav, if you go to the interborough and you go to like East the Parkway and it's drive-by shootings, that like.
So you're saying, okay, well,
I know it's funny.
No, it's not funny. It's actually not funny. We'll talk about an Eretz show. It's not so funny actually. But let's talk about a place where there's no reports of a. You don't feel in danger. In the United States,
If you drive to Florida, you should make Birchas Hachama.
Birchas Hachama, okay. But the Poskim appear to say, at least when I'm reading over here in the Sefer from the Share Teras Habayis by Rabbi, we use the Sefer so many times, I keep on forgetting everyone's name. I forget my name sometimes also. Rabbi Tesner in his Share, he seems to say the answer is no, because the highway in America is a makom where you have to make a bracha tefillas aderech. A person is required to be mispallel when you set on a trip on the highway, and there are no batim, no one is living in these areas in Echanam. You do have to make a bracha mispallel tefillas aderech before you leave, but when you reach your destination, it's not in the category of being considered to be in the matzav of sakana on these roads where you are required to make a birchas hagoymel. It's not considered to be a midbar. A midbar is a place where there's absolutely nothing. On the highways, there's not absolutely nothing. Every so often, there's a rest stop, there's a rest area, there are other cars that pass, there are markers on the road where you can call for help. It is not considered to be in the category of, it's not in society considered to be something which we view that we were in mortal danger, to the degree that in halacha we will be required to recite a birchas hagoymel, and if it was the Beis Hamidrash, we would bring a carbon toida. A desert is a desert. If you don't know what a desert is, you have to go to the desert. When you go to the desert in Saudi Arabia and you spend some time in the desert, then you'll understand that the interstate is not a desert. There's a very big difference to sakana traveling in the desert. If you read these books that describe what it's like to go in the Saudi Arabian desert, the vast nothingness, you don't know where you're going, you can walk for miles and miles and days, it's just infinite. And there's nothing, and there are dangers, there are scorpions, there are creatures. Who knows? That is called the makom of sakana. When you're on a highway, even though going in a car in a vehicle at a very high speed is dangerous, it's not perceived by human beings today as being a sakana, and therefore does not warrant the bracha. The big shaila lahalacha is people who travel in Eretz Yisrael and they travel to settlements that are in territories that are controlled by the Arabs. Even if your destination, the place where you reach, is under sovereignty of the state of Israel, and it's considered to be very, very safe, but some of these settlements, to get there, you have to travel over terrain that is not under the jurisdiction of the state of Israel, you're traveling over roads that are truly very dangerous. And if a person gets into trouble, he is in a lot of trouble. He has to call for help, and the Israeli army has to come into territory that's not theirs to save you. Is this considered to be a midbar to the degree that a person is mechuyev to make a birchas hagoymel every time he travels on these roads? Now, it's shocking to learn that some places can seem to say yes. That if you really go and travel on a road, you go to settlements on the West Bank, okay, I don't know exactly which settlements we're referring to, and you really feel that you are in danger because the territory that you're traveling, you can drive in for half an hour some of these very dangerous roads which are not under the sovereignty of the state of Israel. It's under Palestinian authority. They control the roads. And Israelis are not allowed to be there. It's illegal. In fact, some of these roads, there are certain settlements, I don't know the details, I don't know anything, but what I read is there are certain roads in Israel where it says that it's illegal for an Israeli to travel in this area. It's illegal to travel on this road. This is not the state of Israel. This is territory that is under the authority of the Palestinian authority, and do not go here. And people, just like today, people, they tell everyone to put on a mask. You must wear a mask when you go to shul. If you don't put on a mask, you might be killing somebody. And people don't listen. They don't care. They couldn't care less. They do whatever they want to do. They walk in the shul without a mask. They walk in the streets without a mask. So too, there are people. The sign says very clearly, Israeli citizens should not, under any condition, travel on these roads. If you want to reach your destination, there are other ways to get there, which are legal. It may be that to go the other way, it'll take you a lot longer. It'll take you an hour, not 20 minutes. It may be a lot of traffic. There may be a very big inconvenience, but that's the law. And it seems what I've read is that people do not pay attention. They don't care. They don't care what the law is. They do what they want to do because time is time. Time is money. And they've done it 1,000 times and nothing happened to them and they're not afraid and they do it. They go. They go and they travel on these illegal roads. Okay, so fine, you want to risk your life, you want to go on these illegal roads. But in halacha, is that considered, you have now traveled in a midbar, in a place that's a desert, where you're subject to who knows what, and now if you survive and you reach your destination, you're mechuyev al pi halacha to make a bracha of birchas hagoymel. So it's not so simple. Some places can seem to say, yes, I don't have names for you, but I just want to bring out the point that this halacha of traveling in a desert is not irrelevant. It's still very relevant in today's day and age, because today there are still places in the world today that even where we live, where traveling in these areas are dangerous, and there is an issue, a person may indeed be required to make a bracha. Okay, now what about traveling on a plane? If you travel on a plane, do you make this? A big chiluk edeis, many poskim. If you travel on a plane, is that considered holich bayam? So here's the issues. Many poskim say that you cannot add to what Chazal have given us. Chazal have only described the halacha of traveling over the sea, the yam, holchei hayam, holchei hamidbar. They did not describe any halacha of traveling in the air. So it depends. If you're traveling on an airplane over the yam, you're crossing the Atlantic, you're crossing the Pacific, you want to go that way, or you're crossing, let's say even in Europe, you're flying over the Mediterranean, you're traveling a long distance over the Mediterranean, which also can be considered called the yam, or maybe you're in some other out there in the world somewhere where you're traveling over a body of water, a major body of water. That is what Chazal say, holchei al hayam, you're mechuyev to make a bracha. Yes. But if you travel over dry land, if a person travels from New York to Florida on an airplane, or you go to Boston, or you go to Washington, D.C., or if you travel to the West Coast, you're not traveling over a major body of water that we in the halacha would consider to be called the Yam. Therefore, you do not make birchas hagoymel. Will you suggest that you are traveling over desert area, desert? That's a tough question. In other words, traveling to the West Coast by airplane if you were to make a bracha, it's not necessarily that you're making a bracha because it's called Holchei Hayam. It may be in the category of Holchei Hamidbar. You're traveling in the desert. Traveling in the desert doesn't necessarily mean you have to be traveling on the ground in the desert. You can do traveling in the air over the desert. You want to say the laws that you want to argue that maybe traveling over in the air, you're above 10 tefachim, and if you're above 10 tefachim, it's not called you're in the desert. That's not true. That's a halacha for Shabbos. The Hilchoy Shabbos, there's no tchum l'mayla miyud. So the Hilchoy Shabbos, once you get over 10 tefachim, you're not considered on the ground. But as far as the halacha of traveling is concerned, if you travel in an airplane over a desert, you are in a place of danger. If the plane lands, the plane crash lands in the desert, what are you going to do now? You're in a lot of trouble. This is a place of danger. So traveling to the West Coast in an airplane is an issue of Holchei Midbarios, not Holchei Hayam. Even that, many Poskim say you should not make a bracha. Because traveling in an airplane to the West Coast or anywhere in this country where you're not going over the Yam also cannot be considered to be a desert. Because a desert, according to many opinions, means the real desert. You're traveling in the sand. You're traveling on unpaved roads. You're traveling in the vicinity of snakes and scorpions and who knows what else lurking there lurking out there. When you're on an airplane, even though it may be true that you're traveling over a desert, you're traveling over desert land, you're not in a desert. You're in an airplane. You're in a comfortable seat with air conditioning and they're serving you food. I don't know if they still serve food anymore on the airplanes, but you're in a comfortable, safe environment. It cannot necessarily even be called Holchei Midbar. And you would not make a bracha. Now, if that's going to be the case, so you can take that argument and go further and say that if you do travel across the Atlantic, you travel to Eretz Yisrael on an airplane, it's also not called Holchei Hayam. Because if you're not going to consider traveling in an airplane to the West Coast to be Holchei Hamidbar because you're in a comfortable environment, so when you travel over the Yam, over a body of water, you're also not cold, you're traveling on a ship. You're also in a comfortable environment. So manavshach. See, this is the problem that I personally don't understand. This is the issue. There's a very common understanding out there in the world that if you fly to the West Coast, you do not make a birchas hagoymel when you arrive or when you come back. But if you fly to Eretz Yisrael, then you do make a birchas hagoymel. What is the difference? The answer given is, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you're traveling over the Atlantic. But when you're traveling to the West Coast, you're not traveling over the Atlantic, you're traveling over dry land. So what's the difference?
Some people don't make a gomel even when they go to Eretz Yisrael.
Okay, fine. Okay, let's discuss one thing at a time. There is a very common approach. This is very, very common. People will not make a bracha when they travel domestically, anywhere in the United States. But they will make a bracha when they travel internationally, when they travel across the Atlantic. And if you'll ask them, you'll pin them down, why is that so? They will answer, well, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it says in the Gemara, there are four people who make a birchas hagoymel, and two of them are those who travel over the sea and those who travel in the desert. So if I travel domestically in the United States, I'm not traveling over, I'm not crossing the sea. I'm not crossing the Yam. So then when you challenge them and you say to them, well, excuse me, but you traveled over desert land. There's no question about it. If you go to the West Coast, you're traveling over major chunks of desert land. So why don't you make a bracha? You're Holchei Midbarios. This is not a midbar. I'm in an airplane. We have communications. It's comfortable. I'm in a cabin. It's above 10 tefachim. It'll give you all these lamasha reasons why it's not considered halacha to be called traveling in a desert. Really, it's not a desert because of your enclosed environment in this airplane. So why then, when you travel across the ocean, do you make a bracha? You're also not considered technically to be holchei hayam. Holchei hayam means you're in the ocean. You're in a boat. And the boat is shaking in the waves. You're traveling the air. There's no difference. So what then is the answer? The answer really is, and this is a very liberal approach to halacha, which is very problematic, that when Chazal listed these four things, these are just examples. And if you want, you can expand the list to any situation that you consider to be a grave danger. Even though Chazal only said a person who's sick, a person who travels in the desert, a person who travels over the Yam, a person who is in the Beis HaSurim, lav dafka, any situation that you put yourself, that you're in grave danger, you make a Birchas HaGomel. If you're a NASCAR racer, you ever watch those NASCAR races? They drive 200 miles an hour. Some of them don't make it out alive. Okay, on live television, they give up their lives. So that's a big sakana. That's a big sakana to go into that car. So are you allowed to do it? So let's say you'll find, yeah, you're allowed to risk your life. You're allowed to have some fun. But you're putting your life in danger. If you survive a race in a high-speed sports car, traveling 200 miles an hour around a racetrack with other cars, and the fact is many people die in this activity, then you mechuyif, when the race is over, to make a Birchas HaGomel. What do you mean? You didn't travel in the desert. You didn't travel over the sea. You weren't sick. You weren't in prison. Why should you make a bracha? Because you went and you spent the whole day driving around 200 miles an hour competing against other people, and it's a miracle you're still alive. The answer is, when Chazal gave us four examples, they're coming to pinpoint, to highlight examples of sakana. But it's lav dafka, these four examples. Any other type of significant sakana qualifies for a Birchas HaGomel.
If you go into the army,
if you go to battle, if you're in combat.
If you go to the language of Chazal, they say, Olchem Ovrei Hayam. They didn't say either if you go by sheep or you go by any other way. You say Ovrei Hayam. As long as you cross the
is that what it says?
The Olchem Itbariot. When you walk, what about if you have a train that goes through that? You can say, I'm not going,
It says here, let me read you. I'll read you what it says in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch it says, I'll read you what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch it says, Arbat Shechem Lohoides, Yordei Hayam, Yordei, those who descend into the sea. And then it says, Kishalu Mimenu Veholchei Midbarios. Okay, this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Maybe the Gemara is different, but Shulchan Aruch. Umi Shahoya Choyle Vinisra Peh. Umi Shahoya Chavush Bebe Swasrim. So this is a very big debate among the Achrayim. When Chazal listed these four items, are they being very specific or are they being very broad? If they're being very broad, they're just giving you examples and you have a right to expand, then the argument is correct. If you travel in an airplane domestically, many people will argue that's not considered to be a sakana. We know less people die in airplanes than die in automobiles. It's not a sakana. But everyone who travels overseas definitely feels the sakana much, much more than traveling domestically. When you travel domestically, if there's a problem with the airplane, so mayday, you know, the pilot, hopefully he's a skilled pilot, who'll catch the sakana. He'll have enough time to safely put the plane down on the ground. But Rachmana Litzlan, if you're over the Atlantic and there's a problem, there's no way to put the plane down. Where are you going to land? Where are you going to land over the Atlantic? You're traveling over the Atlantic for how many hours? 6-7 hours. There's nothing out there. There's nothing. There's one teeny little, I once saw this document, this teeny little miracle. The pilot lost all fuel and he was able to land the plane on this teeny little island. It was a miracle of miracles. But there are cloud. If something goes wrong when you're 30,000 feet in the air over the Atlantic, you're in a lot of trouble. They don't have parachutes on commercial jets. And there's nowhere to land anyway. Where are they going to drop you off? In a raft on the Atlantic? What's that going to do for you? The perception is you are in a very great sakana. And if you survive the trip, you make Birchas HaGomel. If you travel to California, you don't sense It's a sakana. No one's coming to deny it's a sakana. But it's not perceived as being such a great sakana because in case there is a problem, there's a mahalech. The pilots are trained how to deal with the situation. So if you take the words of Chazal to just be dugmois, they're examples of sakana. But we have a right to expand the scope of the sakana to any situation which we perceive as being a sakana, which would include a person who becomes a professional NASCAR racer. That's a real sakana. Oh, so the same way that's a sakana, you would make a birchas hagoimel. If you travel across the Atlantic, that's also a sakana. If you travel domestically, it's not a sakana. You don't make a bracha. But if you want to reject that approach, and you want to take the words of Chazal literally, you have to be begeder yerdei hayam. You have to be begeder holchei midbaryos. Then you got a big problem. Then to differentiate between traveling over the sea, going to the Atlantic and traveling in an airplane to Los Angeles, it's a tough sell to show why one example you should be chayiv and the other manav shach. If this is considered yerdei hayam, if this is considered to be a holchei, if it's considered to be, what is it over here? Yerdei hayam, if going on an airplane is considered to be yerdei hayam, then going on an airplane to California should be considered holchei midbaryos. And if you don't consider it to be holchei midbaryos, then you should not consider it going to Lent to be yerdei hayam. So those who are making this differentiation between the two, which is very common, this is a very common differentiation between the two, traveling over the Atlantic versus traveling domestically. It can't be because you're learning the words of the Gemara literally. Then there's no reason why you should be mechalek. Either be consistent. It has to then be that which is a valid approach. These are just examples, four examples. But any matzav, and it's a very big debate. It's a very big debate how you interpret the words of Chazal. Any matzav that is considered to be a sakana in the eyes of the world, then you make a bracha. In the eyes of the world, traveling over the Atlantic is a sakana. Traveling domestically is not. What? Right, that you always have. Tfilas haderech is a different thing. We're talking about it's considered a nes. The tfila is a tfila with a bracha. That's a different. That everyone, the threshold to make the bracha is much, much less. Making the birchas hagoimel, it's a nes. I survived. That's a different threshold. Okay, that's one topic. Now let's just review the other basic halachas. Let's say you do make a bracha. Most people do make a bracha when they travel to Eretz Yisrael. How many blessings do you make? Do you make a blessing when you arrive and a blessing when you come back? Or do you make one blessing when you come back? Most people make one blessing when they come back. If you're going on a trip, if you set out to go on a trip, I'm going away on vacation for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks, maybe even more, but you buy basically a round trip ticket. That's the determining factor. If you buy a round trip ticket, then you make one bracha when you come back. We consider it to be one trip. Both going and coming back, when you arrive back home, you make the bracha. If you buy a one-way ticket, and then I'll think about it. I'll decide later when I want to come back. Then you make two separate brachas. You make a bracha when you arrive, and you'll make a bracha when you come back. Because if you're only buying a one-way ticket, you're basically saying, I'm not coming back so fast. I'm here to stay. I'm here to stay for a significant period of time. And then when I'll decide, I will go back. Then you make two separate brachas. Now, next thing. Now, let's talk about a person that was... Now, the other thing with the person is a car accident. This is always a very, very common shot. Let's say, Rachmano Litzlan, the person was in a car accident. Does he make a birchas hagoimel? So the truth is, this really depends upon this dilemma that we just discussed. If you take the words of Chazal literally, that then you don't make a bracha. You're not in this category. There are four situations. Yerde Hayam, Holchei Midbaros, Cholish Nisrape, Chovush Beis Suasurim. a person, Rachmana Lisan, was in a car accident and survived, he doesn't make a Birchas HaGoyim. The Minhag HaOlam is you do. That's the Minhag HaOlam. The Minhag HaOlam is Rachmana when a person was in a Sakana, something like that, you do make a Birchas HaGoyim. Obviously, the more popular approach is that we do not take these examples literally. They're not the only examples. We expand the scope. We expand the scope. Now, here's what's very important. When you expand the scope, you got to be very careful. You only can expand the scope when you were in real, real danger. It's very common. I remember people used to always, it's my father, they were in a near car accident. The very last moment they survived. So I remember very clearly, there was one balabas, came to my father, this person already passed away. I remember he was driving on the highway and he saw there was a car accident and he pulled over. He was not in the car accident. There was a car accident in front of him and he saw someone needed help. He pulled over his car. He went over to the car that was that spun out of control. He opened up the door and he helped the person out of the car. And he took him to the side. He walked with him a few feet. 10 seconds after they got away from the car exploded. It exploded. So this person, he saved his life. He saved this fellow's life, and he also saved his own life. I mean, the car could have exploded while he was helping him out of the car. So he went on his own without asking the rabbi. He asked the Gabi for an aliyah. He took the aliyah and he made Birchas HaGoyimel. So everyone went up to him afterwards and said to him, why did you make Birchas HaGoyimel? And he said, because, you know, this is what happened. So my father said to him, you don't make a Birchas HaGoyimel for that. If the car would have exploded and you were in the car or you were by the door and you'd be still here to talk about it, then you would make a Birchas HaGoyimel. But if you went and you got out of the car or you helped someone out of the car and after you got to safety, then the car exploded and you witnessed the Hashkocha, the Yad Hashem, that Hashem spared you, it could have happened, you don't make a Birchas HaGoyimel. That's not what Birchas HaGoyimel, even though there's no doubt about it, the Yad Hashem, you saw the Yad Hashem, but that's not where Chazal were misaking the Bracha. The Bracha has to be where you were in mortal danger. When you're in the Yam, you're in real danger. It takes a miracle to come out of the Yam. If you're in the Midbar, you're in mortal danger. If a person is, Rahman al-Islam, sick, he's in a Sakana. If he's in the Beis HaSunim, he is in danger. You were not in danger. You see the Yad Hashem, that you were spared. But at the moment in time, when you were doing what you were doing, you were not in danger. You survived. The danger has to be upon you, biyodayim mamish. He has a very interesting shail over here. He has a very fascinating shail over here. It's a real shail. Someone asked this question, I think. Who did he ask the shail to? This is a true story, it appears. You wouldn't believe this story. This is a story, they wouldn't even write this story in the storybooks. I guarantee you, this story is so off the charts. Not even in these inspirational Pesach Kohen books will you find such a story. In Eretz Yisrael, there was a group of soldiers, and they decided they're going to daven mincha. Nope. They put up a bal tefila daven mincha, and he bows down, Baruch Atah Hashem. He bows his head. As he bows his head, a bullet from the Arabs or some enemy flies over his head. Immediately, they all go into their combat mode. They all get down, they pull out their weapons, and they neutralize the terrorist. The Baal Tefila comes to, who do he ask the Shaila to? I don't know, he doesn't say who he asks the Shaila to. He claims the true story. He asks the Shaila. The Baal Tefila says, it's a fact. If I did not bow my knees for Baruch Atah Hashem, the bullet would have hit my head. It's only because I bowed down, lowered my head, that's why I'm still alive today. Do I recite Birchas HaGoyimel? And that's a little bit too close for comfort, right? This is not like the story where the guy goes to the car, opens up the door, and he pulls out this fellow and the car explodes 10 seconds later. So he writes over here, this Shaila really captures a lot. Rabbi Tezner, he writes to Shuva, Nire Shetzrichim Levarach, yes. Yes, you must make the bracha. You must go to shul, get an aliyah, we'll talk about that, you have to, yes. You must make the bracha in front of 10 people. Hagoymel lachayavim, toivim, shegmolani kol toiv. You must make the bracha. Why? Oh, but I wasn't hit. If you would take the previous story to its extreme, where the person helps out someone from a car, in a car accident, and after he drags him to safety, the car explodes, you don't make the bracha in that case, so you shouldn't make the bracha in this case either. If you've been hit by the bullet, if the bullet would have hit you and you've been taken away and you would be okay, then you would make the bracha. That would really be a different case. That would be a chulish and a srape. So he explains, V'yatam shrei zed doim l'misha bo'elov aryeh l'tarfa. Okay, this is a very important example. This is part of Shulchan Aruch. She'hamisa b'derech ha'teva u'v'derech neis u'v'hashkocha protis nitzel mimenu. Now, I'm not sure where he's getting this principle from. He comes to differentiate between two different cases. Okay. The case he's discussing is if you are in a zoo, you go to the Bronx Zoo, and the guy goes, and they're testing the tigers for corona. They do, actually, they test them now for corona, the tigers in the Bronx Zoo. And guess what? They have it. How do you like that? They test the animals, the elephants and the tigers, no elephants anymore. They test all the animals for corona, they test, and then all of a sudden you find yourself face to face with a lion. And the lion does not eat you up. Do you recite Birchas HaGoymel? And the answer is yes. Yes, you do. Let's say a person is a near miss in a car accident. You do not recite Birchas HaGoymel. What's the difference? So the difference is when a lion sees a human being, it is natural for the lion to eat up a human being. Just because the lion did not eat and did not touch you, it doesn't matter. Even though it's a near miss, a human being interacting with a lion and nothing happening to him is not a near miss. It's a miracle. Because when a lion lays his eyes on a human being, it is natural the lion will harm the human being.
Rabbi, how about a trainer, a lion trainer who deals with him every day?
Maybe not. Sometimes maybe you get, he, maybe see, that's a different
sometimes
story.
Sometimes you hear that they get hurt.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe you're right. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Let's put that aside. Let's discuss what we have in front of us. If a person who's not a lion trainer comes in contact with a lion, and the lion does not touch him, the halacha is he makes a birchas hagoymel. But why? Why is this different than a person that was in a near miss car accident? There, it didn't happen. He was not hit. He got lucky, so he doesn't make a birchas hagoymel. Here also, he got lucky. The difference is, here, when the lion looks at the person, the next natural step is the lion should devour the person. In the case of the car accident, it's not natural to be in a car accident. It was not meant to happen. The fact that it was a near miss, you escaped. You did not enter into the sakana. It's a very delicate point. It's a very fine difference. But when you think about it, there is a difference. You're in a situation. You were not injured, but you should have been injured. It really should have happened. When you're in a car, there's another driver and you're here, it's not supposed to happen. That's not the way it's supposed to happen. It's not supposed to be that there'll be a head-on collision or this guy will swerve into your lane at the wrong time. It's not the way it's supposed to happen. There are rules. When you drive, you're in your lane, he's in his lane, you're going this way, he's going that way. There are rules. It's not supposed to happen. Something went wrong, and you came that close to losing your life due to an error, due to some type of mistake, or who knows what. But it's not the way it's supposed to happen. Therefore, you don't make a birchas hagoyim unless something indeed happened and you came out okay. When it comes to a human being meeting a lion, it's supposed to happen. It's supposed to happen that the lion's going to eat up the person. If it doesn't happen, you have to make a birchas hagoyim. So the Pesach said, you're standing there. You are in the crosshairs of a terrorist, of an enemy. They're pulling the trigger. It's supposed to happen that you're going to die. The enemy has your head in his crosshairs. He has his finger on the trigger. If he's shot, it didn't just happen that he's shot. He's aiming at you to shoot at your head. And now, lo and behold, you balmodim. It happens to be the moment when you balmodim, punk, that's the moment he presses the trigger. So it was supposed to happen. He would have shot your head off. And now you bowed. So in this case, you do make birchas hagoyim. That is the rule of thumb. Every type of sakana, halacha l'maaseh, we do make birchas hagoyim on all different types of sakanas. We make birchas hagoyim when we release. But the rule of thumb is, was it supposed to happen? If it was supposed to happen, al derech hateva, yes, you make birchas hagoyim. If it's not supposed to happen and you just escaped, then you don't make birchas hagoyim. So go back to the case of the car. The car, it was an accident. The car swerved out of control, it spun. The car now is the side of the road. The person inside the car obviously has been injured. A guy opens up the door, takes the guy out of the car. Is the car supposed to explode at this moment in time? Obviously, my father felt, I don't know, my father felt, no, it's not supposed to explode. That's not the way cars are made. It's not just because the car spun out of control, just because it was an accident. It doesn't happen. Most of the time, in these situations, it's not expected that the car is going to explode. This was the unexpected. Took the guy out of the car, and who knows, it's very rare that the car that should be damaged in such a way where the fuel was leaking and there's going to be some type of flame and the car is going to explode. This is not the common situation. And guess what? You luckily survived. If it wasn't supposed to happen and it almost happened, and it's not in the four categories of the Beis Wasurim, the Cholish Misrapeh, the Midbar, and the Yam, you don't make a bracha. But if you find yourself on a matzav where you're doomed, let's say you're on a runaway train, let's say you lose your brakes, you're driving in a car, and the brakes go out. And now, you're in a lot of trouble. Because if the brakes don't work anymore, how are you going to stop the car? Al derech hateva, the car is going to crash, and you're going to be injured, and who knows what's going to happen. And now, a miracle of miracles, the guy in front of you, he turns, so you don't have to crash into him, and you go along a street where it's uphill, so the car is able to slow down, and you're able to get out into safety. In this case, was it supposed, the matzav that you find yourself right now, you're in the car, and right now in a matzav where, if things continue the status quo, I'm a goner. I'm in a car, I'm going 60 miles an hour, there are cars in front of me, and al derech hateva, I am done. I am in a lot of trouble, because my brakes are not working.
The same thing about Peirot. Davar shelo ba la'olam. Davar shelo ba la'olam, en hane peire de avida de atu. In the avida de atu, as you said, it's not davar shelo ba la'olam. So that's the same idea. It has to come, or it will come. So that's the davar shelo ba la'olam. It's the same discussion.
Same idea. But here, if the person is in the car and the car is going 60 miles an hour, and he loses his brakes, right now, the velocity, the force of the car is such that he will, the matzav right now is he is in a real sakana. He will be in trouble. If a miracle happens that other cars disappear and you survive, you escape, you still have to make, you must make a birchas hagemal. So these are the basic rules. Okay, so we've gone through the basic rules of when you make a birchas hagemal. There are four categories, there's nothing to discuss. Chazal have given us these rules, there are four categories. Category of Yordei Hayam. Now let's just go think, what about if you go on, this is a very big shayla, if you go on a ship, you go in the Caribbean, you go on a cruise, this industry now is really, really suffered. The losses are in the billions. They don't know what's going to be anymore with these luxury liners. After Corona, no one wants to go. I read a whole article on this. It's a big, big problem. It's probably for all the industries that they're afraid will never, ever come back is the cruise ship industry, because they're in confined quarters and who knows what. People travel all over the world. So someone who is goes on a cruise, is that called Yordei Hayam? This is a very tough question, because it is. If Chazal tell you, if Yordei Hayam, you go into the sea, if you're on a cruise liner, you're Yordei Hayam, you have to make a bracha. Oh, but the ship that you're on is the size of 2 football fields and has more amenities and more safety features than living in Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, you have to worry, there are riots. Who knows what's going to happen? You walk down the street, there are hilarious out there roaming the streets. If you go on a cruise ship, even though you're in the Yam, the size of the cruise ship is the size of 2 football fields. There's more food, there's more protection, it's safer on the cruise ship than it is in Brooklyn. So do you have to make, so why if in Brooklyn I'm not making a birchas hagoimel when I walk down the street, so why don't I make a birchas hagoimel when I go on a cruise ship? It's a very tough question. But on one hand, you have to say, you have to follow the rules of Chazal. Chazal say, Yordei Hayam, were you in the sea? The answer is yes. You're in a ship, you make a bracha. That's the way it is. If you live in Brooklyn, even though it may be a sakana, you don't make a bracha. There are basic rules, even though sometimes the logic behind the rules don't make sense. Halacha is not always rooted in reality. Halacha was established based upon reality, but as time passes, it's not uncommon where reality changes and the halacha still remain the same. More or less. That's a very delicate one that we change when we do not change. And being the rules are, when you live in a city, you do not make a bracha, even though it may be a dangerous place, it's not a midbar. It's not a midbar. It's not called a midbar in halacha. Is it dangerous? Yes, but it's not a midbar. You don't make a bracha. But if you go on a vacation and you travel on a cruise, on a ocean liner, yeah, you do make a bracha. Other Paiskim say no. Other Paiskim, they're very liberal. They're very liberal. And here's what's very interesting. It's the same way, look what we're doing over, the same way that we have established that when it says in Chazal, there are 4 people who make a bracha, and we accept halacha l'maisa, that's lav davka, these 4 people, we take the tam. The reason why these 4 people make a bracha is because they're in great danger. And that's why if a person is in a car accident, he also makes a bracha, or any life-threatening situation. Even in the 4 items that Chazal do list, if we can clearly state that it's not a danger, then you don't make a bracha. It's a double-edged sword. If you have the right to expand the scope of Birchas HaGoimel to situations which are dangerous, that are not listed by Chazal, because the nature is danger, you also have the right to limit the halacha even in the 4 situations that are considered, that are listed by Chazal, but we today consider not dangerous. We don't consider going in the Yam dangerous because we have a ship, you have an ocean liner which has every amenity possible, and the record of people dying on a ship is on one of these ocean liners is almost non-existent since the Titanic. Okay, in the Titanic, they weren't so lucky. But since the Titanic, the record of people going over, dying on an ocean liner is almost non-existent. And therefore, this, if we can expand the scope of when you say Birchas HaGomel, we can limit the scope of not saying Birchas HaGomel in situations of the four listed that we don't consider to be a sakana. A person catches a cold. Does he make a Birchas HaGomel? No. You know, go back before there was penicillin. A person has fever. Person has some type of serious illness. They would die. They would mamish die. So then, for them, then it would be the proper thing for them to make a bracha for a person in a certain type of situation. Today, it's no big deal. You go take antibiotics. You take some medicine, and it's no big deal. A person is cured. 1, 2, 3. So you don't find people coming to shul today making a birchas hagoymel. Well, 50 years ago, this person would have been dead with that same exact illness. So what happened? Isn't he a cholish and esrape? He's a cholish and esrape. The answer is he's not a cholish and esrape because we, our perception is we don't consider this type of cholish to be in a matzav of sakana. We have the right to expand and contract the scope of the sakana. A cruise liner, we can be mamayit. Certain types of illnesses that today are curable, easily curable, not necessarily make a birchas hagomel. Now let's talk very quickly about what exactly does the bracha mean. Sorry?
What about the war?
Battle, of course, you make a bracha. You go into battle, and battle, derech is to die. You go into battle like a midbar. Battle of the battlefield, you go into combat. If a person goes, first of all, just going into the desert. Many, many, many of the soldiers today, when they fight this guerrilla warfare, they go into dangerous places, they go behind enemy lines. So that's a midbar. That itself is a midbar. You're in a makam of sakana. They could be snipers, wherever you are. The battlefield, more often than not, is in a makam, what we can call a midbar. And certainly, if you're in combat and someone shoots a weapon at you, goes back to that rule. If someone is aiming a weapon to kill you, it's supposed to happen. Someone wants it to happen. The enemy wants it to happen. If you survive, it's a miracle. It's not like a car accident. A car accident, it's not supposed to happen. You're supposed to follow the rules of the road, and he's supposed to follow the rules of the road. There's a near mishap. Something went wrong, and luckily nothing happened. No one got hurt. No. There was no collision. There was no contact. There was no actual contact. Then you don't make a bracha. But when you go to war and someone shoots at you, that bullet was really supposed to penetrate. You escaped it. You make a birchas hagomel. It's a very important principle. This you saw that we explained. The tiger. Look at the example of the tiger. If a human being comes eye to eye with a tiger, a lion, a bear, and he runs away and he's alive, he makes a birchas hagoymel. Why? Nothing happened to me. I'm alive. Well, something should have happened to you. You're a survivor. It is nature, it is teva, that when a lion, a bear, a tiger sees you, you're done. You're finished. And if you escaped, that is a miracle. When you're driving, it's not supposed to happen. And you avoided it the very last moment, that's a tremendous bracha. You know, today they talk about the driverless cars, Tesla. So every time a driverless car gets into an accident, it's headlines. Headlines, you believe the driverless car got into an accident, gewalt. What happened to the person? Was he injured? The lawsuits. It's lucrative business. If a driverless car gets into an accident, they'll sue Tesla, they'll sue everyone right and left. The victim will sue, and the person who's driving the car will sue. You gave me a product that's a lethal robot? But you know what they don't tell you? They don't tell you how many times every single day, right now, these driverless cars are saving lives. All you need to do is to go to YouTube and type in driverless car, I don't even know, we have to find the right terms of saves or near misses. There are hundreds of videos of people driving, not driving, sitting in their driverless car, and out of nowhere, another car from another lane swerves erratically right in front of you. If you were at the wheel, you wouldn't have a chance. You wouldn't survive. You would not be able to maneuver your vehicle fast enough and correctly to avoid what would have been a fatal accident. But because you're not driving the car, and a machine is driving the car, and the machine picked up, its sensors picked up what's going on, and made very complicated decisions of what to do, it knew how to get you out of the way to spare you from an accident, and to spare the person who erratically did something illegal, to spare him from, spare his life as well. And if you go on YouTube and you type in some keywords, they'll show you these amazing stories. This guy sitting in the car, and he's out of nowhere, a truck turns on him. He would have been dead, but the driverless car knew what to do. It knew how to save his life. So that's an incredible. So if you're in the car and that happens. If you would have been driving, forget it. The driverless car saved your life. It really did. It really, really did. You don't make a birchas hagoyim because it was not supposed to happen. It was not supposed to happen. And you escaped. You escaped. You don't make a bracha. If there was a collision and you're here to talk about it, then you make a bracha. Because if there was a collision, it was meant to happen that you should die. And if you did not die, that's when you make the birchas hagoimel. The yesod is the birchas hagoimel is always made when you overcome what really should have happened. A person in the desert is not supposed to come out alive. A person in the yam is not supposed to come out alive. A chayla is not supposed to survive. When there's a collision, and you're not supposed to come out of that car alive. You do? It's a miracle. But if there's a near miss, you have to analyze the situation. If the soldier, an enemy was pointing a weapon at his head and pressed the button, and you just happened to bow modim at that moment in time, you make a birchas hagoimel. Because that bullet was meant to hit my, but it didn't hit my head, it didn't. Well, it was supposed to. And you got lucky, you bow down. Someone was trying very hard to kill you. That's what was supposed to happen. That was the goal. And you avoided it, you make a birchas hagoimel. But if no one's trying to kill you, he's going to the Met game, you're going to the Yankee game, and you're just two ships passing in the evening, and someone just gets distracted, and he crosses the wrong lane, and a miracle of miracle, your driverless car knew to pull a maneuver to save your life. You don't make birchas hagoimel. If you're driving 60 miles an hour down,
he's trying to ram you. Like it happens now.
Well, yes, of course, of course. That's like shooting a weapon. If there's a terrorist who's trying to ram you, and you outmaneuver him, and you turn your car, and you outmaneuver him, and you save your life. And nothing happens, you're not touched, you do make birchas hagoimel. Because he had malicious intent, he was premeditated, he wanted, and it should have happened. And you escaped, you make birchas hagoimel. That's the rule of thumb in birchas hagoimel. Okay, now let's discuss very quickly the bracha. People don't know the meaning of the bracha, it's so important to know the meaning of the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Hagoimel, Hashem is kind. Goimel means to bestow kindness. Lachayavim. What does lachayavim mean? The guilty. The guilty. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is goimel. He is gracious and bestows kindness upon the guilty. Toivim. Good fortune. Every time a person is in an accident, or is this a chayle, or is in the midbar, or is in the yam, he is called a chayov. He is guilty as sin. There's a verdict in Shemayim, chayov, chayov. You're guilty, you're going to burn, you're going to suffer. Chayov. And what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of executing the mishpat, he bestows toivim, goodness. He spares you from what happens. And now here's the complicated part of the bracha. Goimel l'chayavim to hada shegmolani. How do I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu behaves in such a way? I have to take a step back. Let me just finish off the thought, then I'll explain it again with different words. Because look at me. I am a living example. Shegmolani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon me, I, the Chayav, Kol Toiv, the ultimate good. The ultimate good of forgiving me for my sins and allowing me to survive. In other words, the bracha, when you make this bracha is so unique and so special. It's a bracha that it's in a class all by itself. You're getting up in front of 10 people and you are declaring, I want everyone here to know that I am a living example of what Hashem does to all of you in this room. Everyone is almost, it's almost like you're insulting everyone in the room. When you make a Birchas HaGoimel, you know what you're saying to everyone in Shul? You're saying everyone here in this room is guilty. The rabbi is very guilty. The president, he's also guilty. The women behind the mechitza, they're the worst. they're guilty as sin, sin itself. Everyone here in this room should know with clarity you're all wicked. That's what you're doing. It's really what you're doing. And yet, even though you're all chayavim, you know what? The Ribbono Shel Olam has rachmanis on you. Has rachmanis on all of you evil people. Hashem is goimel lachayavim toivim. How do I know that? How do I know that even though everyone here in this room is a guilty person, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you and has rachmanis upon you, and is goimel upon you, toivim, because there's no one in this room that's more guilty than me. And yet, Hashem spared my life. Shegmolani, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon me, the most guilty of everyone here in this room, kol toiv, the totality of good. What is the totality of good? I'm alive. Being alive is Kol, how do you know Kol Toiv? On every day of creation, Hashem said, Vayar l'kim es asher osa v'hinei Toiv. Toiv! But on day six, when Hashem created Adam, Hashem says, Toiv me'oid. Day six was not just a good day. It was a day that was Toiv me'oid. Very good. A synonym for very good toiv me'oid is kol toiv. Giving a human being life is called kol toiv. So let's review the brachas. If people go their whole life, I don't even know what this bracha means. A person comes to shul to make birchas hagoyimah. In essence, what he's saying is, every single person in this room and in this world are guilty. Or mostly guilty. But don't feel bad. I'm not any better. I'm not any better than you. I am the most guilty. I am, because how do I know I'm the most guilty? I should have died. My life passed before me. I was in mortal danger. And I survived. Well, let's read the bracha backwards.
What does that have to do with everybody else? That's what I'm missing.
That's because that's the uniqueness of this bracha. This is what Chazal instituted. They instituted when a person witnesses the miracle, he has to use, I'll explain to you in a moment, you ask a good question, I'm going to prove to you where it comes from. It comes from Yaakov Avinu. It comes from Yaakov Avinu, and it comes from Rashbi. I'm going to explain to you in one moment. When a person experiences a miracle, he has an obligation to use this event as an inspiration for the entire Klal Yisrael, and to say to Klal Yisrael, learn from me. I am a guilty, wicked person because my life came to an end. My time was up. My number was called. I was done. I was in mortal danger. I should not be here today. I was deathly ill. I was in the desert. I was in the yam. I was the chovosh bebei suasurim. I should have been finished. And you know what happened? Shegmolani kol toiv. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he bestowed, goimel means to bestow, upon me, kol toiv, Kol means the entirety of good. The entirety of good means life. He allowed me to live. Therefore, all of you should learn from this that God is a being, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, who is goimel, bestows, chayavim, guilty people, referring to everyone here in this room. Hashem bestows upon chayavim toivos, good things, things that you do not deserve. And to prove it, look at me. I was meant to die. Everyone here in this room would have made a killing in the market to bet that I wouldn't be around today. And I'm here, I'm still alive. Shegmolani kol toiv. If Hashem was gimolani kol toiv, and I'm a living example of a chayav, that you can see me with your own eyes, I was deathly ill, and I'm alive to talk about it. So you should know that there are many times in life when you don't see that you're chayav, you really are chayav, and behind the scenes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being gracious to you as well. So you're making the Baruch, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Hashem is great in that He is goimel, He bestows chayavim upon guilty people. Toivois. Chayavim toivois. Good things. Things they don't deserve. Even though you're chayav, you still get the toivois. You still get these good things. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hagomel L'Chayavim Toivois. How do you know it? You have to put a big, big, big comma here. How do you know this is? How do you know this to be true? I am a living example. Shegmolani, because look what He did for me. He bestowed upon me Kol Toiv, the ultimate goodness of allowing me to live. And because you are engaging all of the members of your synagogue, including the men and women, and you've said to them some very nasty things, then you all are chayovim, they all have to respond, you're right. They all respond, they say, Amen, Amen, you're right, Amen, Kel Melech Nemon, and they say, Mi shegom lecha kol toiv, you're right. The Ribbono Shel Olam, who indeed bestowed upon you, the guilty one, this ultimate blessing of life, halavai He should be kind to us like He was to you. We acknowledge that you're right. We're also all guilty. Who yigom l'cha, well, I'm sorry, over here it says, who yigom l'cha kol toiv sellers, I take it back. They're not talking about themselves, but they just say, who yigom l'cha kol toiv, may He continue to bestow upon you life seller. Okay, but why are they responding with this nusach? The response they're saying is not about themselves. The response is to be mechazik this person, because after all, it's this person who is the one that is reciting the Berachas HaGoyimel. And they say, yes, indeed, we acknowledge Hashem has done with you kindness. You were in mortal danger. Hashem spared your life. He has done. But you know why they're responding? Because this fellow has engaged them. He has not just made a statement. He has made a declaration. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam HaGoimel L'Chayavim Toivois. That's not about himself. Those opening words is a statement to society. In society, the Ribbono Shel Olam sees guilty people and has rachmanis and bestows upon the Chayavim Toivois. The proof is me. Shegmolani, look what he did for me, Kol Toiv. When the people hear them, people are engaged. When you engage the audience and you indirectly insult them by telling them, you're also guilty. You're also a bunch of guilty people. You also have problems. So they're compelled to wake up and elaborate. You're right. They don't want to bring guilt upon themselves. They don't maybe want to bring the satan upon themselves. But at the very least, they have to express themselves with much more meaning than ordinarily. And they say, you're right. Amen. Me, the Ribbono Shel Olam, Shegom Lecha, who has bestowed upon you, the Chaf, Kol Toiv, may He continue to be kind to you. to be kind to you. You should live long. You should be healthy, successful. Hu yigam lecha kol toiv, sela, forever. It's a pretty beautiful bracha. They say the word sela. Sela is like amen on steroids. Amen means kel melech neman. Sela means forever. The amen is should be forever and ever. Now by the svardim, okay, it's kedai. You know, people like to go to svardish shuls today. It's a new fad. People are running to daven by the svardim. Why? They want to hear every single day birchas koyhanim. There's another reason why you should go to a svardish shul, because when the person there gets birchas hagomel, they have a minog, and the person after, the people respond and they say amen. Mi shagom lecha toiv hu yigam lecha kol toiv sela. The one who made the bracha says amen. He responds and he says amen kein yehi ratzon. There's a response backwards only by the svardim. Okay, the Ben Yishchai writes. Let me read the words over here. Shu oimer achareyem amen kein yehi ratzon, and indeed this is what is done hayoim in the svardish shuls. The one who makes it a three-part process. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam hagomel lechayavim toivos kama. How do you know this? Shegmolani kol toiv. The people who respond amen, mi shegom lecha kol toiv hu. And then the person answers back, amen! Kein yihi ratzon. Ashkenazim, the Litvaks, they don't know how to do this. The Litvaks, they just shuckle. They don't know how to do this. They don't know how to say, amen, kein yihi ratzon. Look at Mark. Mark's a real Litvak. His brother's a Litvak. His brother's a rabbi of Litvaks. Litvak. Mark, you're missing out. You're missing out on the svardim. All right. This is now, by the way, where do you make this bracha? What? Where do you make this bracha? The bracha has to be made in front of how many people? 10 people. Among the 10 people, there should be 2 talmidei chachamim. It's a pasuk. This pasuk, this is a big, big topic of discussion. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow, maybe not. Is the din of birchas hagomel considered in the category of a davar shabikedusha? V'nigdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. If you want to say Kaddish, you want to say Kedusha, you want to say Shemona Esrei, you need 10 men. V'nigdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. When you make Birchas HaGomel, it also must be said in front of 10 people. Now, where does that come from? It's a pasuk. This is a Gemara Masech the Brachos. V'roi memuhu, you shall praise Hashem b'kahal om, in an assembly of people, a kahal of am. Uvimoshav zikenim, and in an old age home. No, uvimoshav zikenim, and amongst zokein zeshakon echachma yehalleluhu, you shall praise Hashem. So Chazal learned from this pasuk. It says kehal om means 10 people, and then when it says uvimoshav zikenim, 2 of the 10. I would think you should have 12 people, but that's not what it said. That's not what Chazal understand. Amongst the 10 people, you should have 2 of the 10 should be Talmidei Chachamim. Now, some Farshim learn, you really need 11. When you have a minion, you only need to have 10 people, and the Chazan, the Shatz, can be one of the 10 people. You have the Shatz plus another 9 for a grand total of 10. There are opinions who hold that when it comes to Birchas HaGomel, you need a total of 11. You, the one who is making the bracha, must make this statement in the presence of 10. So 10 plus 1 equals 11. And among those 10, there must be 2 people who are considered in society to be Zikenim Talmidei Chachamim. Now today, if you start playing games, who's a Talmid Chacham, who's not a Talmid Chacham, you're going to start a world war. So today we're not makbid on this at all, to go start, do we have here, could you imagine that you come to shul, I want to say Birchas HaGomel, and you say to the rabbi, I need 2 talmidei chachamim, there's no one here. So the rabbi says, what about me? I'm the rabbi. You don't consider me to be a talmid chacham? No, you, come on. You're done, right? So today we're not gonna play, we're not makbid. However, the reason why the minig is to make birchas hagoymel after you get your aliyah is because there's a very high chance that during Kriyas HaTorah there will be two Talmidei Chacham in the room. That's the reason why you do it during davening. Where does it come from? This is the Meshagas. Where does it come from that you make Birchas HaGoymel after you get your Aliyah? What? Where does that come from? Nowhere. There's no Makar for this. There's no Makar for this. This is a new thing. Where does it come from? You want to make Birchas HaGoymel? Call up 10 people to come to your house. Make sure from the 10 people there are two Talmidei Chachamim. You'll have 11 people in the house. Yourself, two Talmidei Chachamim, plus another 8, and you make the bracha. That's how you're supposed to do it. Or you want to go to a ceremony, go to shul after davening is over, before davening is over. You go and you do this. Why in the world are we doing it today in shul after you get your aliyah? The answer is, since the halacha is that you must make this bracha in the presence of two Talmidei Chachamim. And if we're going to go and start looking around who is a Talmud Chacham, we're going to get into a lot of trouble. So we don't want to start doing this. So what's the solution? To make the bracha during Kriyas HaTorah. Because during Kriyas HaTorah, people come to shul. They come to shul. Talmidei Chachamim come to Mekayim the midst of Kriyas HaTorah 3 times a week, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos. So then there is a high probability that in the synagogue, in this assembly, there will be 10 people, because you are laning, you need 10 people to lane, and among those who are laning, you'll have two Talmidei Chachamim. That's the only reason why we're doing it when you get your aliyah. About this very important halacha. If you get Koyein, Levi, Shlishi, Revihi, Chamishi, Shishi, then indeed you make the bracha immediately after you finish the bracha acharoina, Asher nosan lanu Torah sames v'chayei olam notah b'seichenu Baruch atah Hashem nesena Torah. Amen. Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech olam hagomel l'chayavim toivois shegmalani kol toiv. But what happens if you get shvi'i or acharoin? You do not make the birchas hagoymel until after the kaddish. The kaddish is the ikur. When you finish, the Kaddish is shayich to the Kriya. When you finish laning Shvi'i, you make, you say Kaddish. That's what you're supposed to do. It's a minog to say, to add the Birchas HaGoymel. The minog is not Oiker Halach in this instance. Normally we have a principle, minog Oiker Halach, we're not here. In this instance, if you get Shvi'i, first, the shatz, the Balkriya, he makes the bracha acharoina, and then you do the ikur, you immediately recite the chatzi kaddish. After the chatzi kaddish, then you recite birchas hagoymel. Let's say now, is a person who wants to think of birchas hagoymel, is he a chiv? No way. One who is making birchas hagoymel is not in any shape or form a chiyuv. He has no kedima to push away a yard site, a this or that, nothing. It's just a minik to say it at that point in time because you need 10 people and you need Talmidei Chachamim, so that's what we do when there's no one else. But if there's a chiyuv, he has no kedima. Sometimes if he can't give him an aliyah, they'll give him Hagba Galila. If he does a Hagba Galila before Hagba Galila, he makes the Birchas HaGoymel. Let's say they don't want to give him Hagba Galila either. It's very common, Yeshiva Bachrim, they come back from Eretz Yisrael, and they're not giving them Aliyahs because they have Chiyuvim. After, right before Hagba Galila, you call up anyone who needs to make Birchas HaGoymel. They stand in the center of the shul. They recite Birchas HaGoymel. No Aliyah, no Hagba Galila. After Kaddish, not before Kaddish. That's when they stand there, they make the bracha one at a time, and everyone answers Amen. It seems what I read over here is that sometimes you can have a shul, there could be 100 people who want to make the bracha. There could be, let's say there's an event, there's some type of terrorist attack, who knows? Rahman al-Islam. Or let's say you have a whole airplane. Okay, you get off the airplane, you have 500 people who want to make it. They all went together on a trip. So then one person can make it on behalf of everybody. Baruch atah Hashem Elohim, Amel l'chayavim toivois, shegmolanu. You just have to change the girsa. That's also very controversial when you start playing around with the nuschos of the brachos. Shegmolanu kol toiv. And then the people who respond, Amen mishegimolanu, the one who has bestowed upon us kol toiv, who yigmolenu kol toiv sela. It's a different type of sequence when one person making the bracha on behalf of the entire tzibur. That's not commonly done. Very, very weird. I've actually never seen that. I've seen sometimes we have a long line. You have a long line of people lining up in order to make Birchas HaGoimel, but those are the general rules. 12, you need 10 people. If you don't have 10 people, you do not make the bracha. You do not make a bracha. Do women make a bracha? Of a woman, you ever see a woman? A woman, she also went on the airplane. She also came back. You ever see a woman make a bracha who making a Birchas HaGoimel from flying on an airplane? Never. I've never seen that. I've seen women make a Birchas HaGoimel for a surgery. Okay, a Yoledes is a whole nother shayla. But what about for going on an airplane? Never. Why not? How come? First, how do women do it? So we're out of time. So Belin Neder, we'll continue. What does a woman do in a world that's dominated by men? In regard to Birchas HaGoimel. To be continued. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah. If this is Dove Sheba Kedusha, why doesn't it deserve an aliyah?
What does an aliyah have to do with Dove Sheba Kedusha?
You
need 10 people. You need 10 people. You need 10 people. 10 people. Just because the Dove Sheba Kedusha doesn't mean you get an aliyah. When you say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So when you say Kadosh, 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 it's Dove Sheba Kedusha. The one who says the shatz, who says kadosh, 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 has to get an aliyah? Of course not. There's a davar shebe kedusha of saying kedusha, of saying kaddish, and of davening shmone esrei. They're separate. Hail laning kriyas haTorah is davar shebe kedusha, need 10 people. Making a birchas hagoimel is davar shebe kedusha, need 10 people. Halacha lemais, I wasn't clear. Halacha lemais, we pass, you don't need 11. You don't need 11, you only need 10. You only need 10. Where is the pasuk? The pasuk.
Where is the pasuk?
Where the pasuk? The ramucha. It is. In Tehillim. Is it in Tehillim? I think Perek Chav Beis.
Oh, okay. He said it's in Hodu.
This pasuk of the Rabbi Mucha, I'll tell you where the pasuk is.